In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, beginning in verse 13 and going through chapter 5, verse 3, we find a key passage on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Paul gives details here about what will happen when Jesus comes again that you won't read anywhere else in the Bible in the specific terms that Paul uses in this passage. Now, we noticed in the previous lesson that Paul was writing this to these Christians to assure them that those Christians who had died had hope in the future. And so Paul writes to them and says that he doesn't want these Christians to be sorry or sad over the death of those Christians. He says in verse 14, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus," that is, the dead in Christ, Christians who have passed away, he says, "God will bring with him," that is, when Jesus comes. And then he says in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We were looking at the word "we" as we closed the last lesson. Sometimes people look at this word and read too much into it. The word "we" here is not used in a strict literal sense, as if Paul is saying or claiming that he was going to be alive when Jesus returns. Paul was not using the word "we" in that kind of strict fashion here. He's using the word "we" in the sense of a generic or inclusive term, what we would sometimes refer to as an editorial "we." He's simply saying that he and these Christians are in the general category of children of God, Christian people. He's using the word "we" in a collective sense. And he's simply saying that there will be Christians alive on the earth when Jesus returns. So he says, "we which are alive and remain," and that simply means Christians will be alive and will remain when Jesus comes again. And Paul began this use of "we" here in verse 14 when he said, "For if we believe," and then in verse 17 again, "then we which are alive and remain," he's simply talking about the collective idea of Christians in general. And it seems that some people at Thessalonica took Paul's word "we" too literally, and they thought that he was saying that Jesus was coming in their lifetime. So Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians to assure them that was not what he meant. "We," here, he says, "shall not prevent them." Notice what he says in verse 15. "We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," the King James says, "them which are asleep." The word "prevent" here is an old English word, and it means to precede. It means to go before. And what Paul is saying is that we, that is, Christians who are alive at that time, will not go to meet Jesus in the air before the dead in Christ are raised. And Paul explains that even more in verses 16 and 17, and this is where we pick up today. In verse 16, Paul said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Paul says the Lord himself will come. Notice the wording in verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." Jesus himself will come. He will not send a representative. He will not send an angel while he stays in heaven. And this is not some kind of symbolic coming of the Lord. This is the Lord himself. Paul said that he will descend from heaven. Now, Jesus is in heaven at this time because Jesus ascended back up to heaven. You see, in John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus said that he came down from heaven. And then, 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended back up to heaven. After he spoke with the disciples, the Bible says in Acts 1, verse 9, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, And then in Acts 1 verse 11, two angels told the disciples, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So Paul says that Jesus will descend from heaven, and when he does come, the Bible says that the holy angels will come with him. Matthew 25, verse 31. It's interesting in Matthew 25 that when Jesus describes the great judgment scene, that in Matthew 25, verse 31, he says the holy angels will come with him, but in verse 41, he says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. The holy angels come with Jesus, but the devil's angels will be with him throughout all of eternity in everlasting fire. In the second epistle that Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, he said that Jesus will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire. So when you put all these passages about the second coming of Christ together in the Bible, you get a vivid description of what that day will be like. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul continues after he says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." There's going to be some kind of shout in that day. And not only that, with the voice of the archangel, there will be some kind of audible sound that will occur in that day. Notice the expression, "the voice of the archangel." The Bible says that he will come with his holy angels, but here the Bible specifies the voice of the archangel. The word archangel is used only one other time in the Bible, and that is in Jude verse 9. In Jude verse 9, we read about Michael the archangel. Now, we don't know for sure that that's what Paul is talking about here. We don't know if there are other archangels, because actually, in the Greek, there's no definite article here for "the." It could be that he's talking about one archangel here, or it could be that he's talking about an archangel. The whole point, of course, is that Paul is saying at that day, this will be an audible sound. Paul says that when Jesus comes, it will be with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. So the important point about this passage is not whether this is talking about Michael. And we do know, of course, that the Bible does not say anything about Gabriel's trumpet blowing at the last day. The important point is what Paul is bringing up in the last part of verse 16. That's where he says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is what this whole section is about. He's talking about these Christians who have died and what is going to be their future. He says, "the dead in Christ shall rise first." That means there's a time frame. That means they are first in order. And what he means here is that the dead in Christ will rise from the dead before the living Christians at the time of Jesus' return go home to be with him. We need to read verses 16 and 17 together. Now notice the last part of verse 16. He says, "When Jesus comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first." Then notice verse 17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." So the order that Paul gives here about what will happen in the judgment day is that Jesus will descend from heaven, the dead in Christ will rise from the dead, and then the dead in Christ and the living in Christ will ascend to meet the Lord in the air. So Paul is simply assuring these Thessalonian Christians that Christians who are alive when Jesus comes won't go to heaven without the dead in Christ. And Christians who are alive when Jesus returns won't go to heaven before the dead in Christ are raised. But what about the dead who are not in Christ? Paul talks about the dead in Christ rising first, but he doesn't say anything specifically about the dead who are not in Christ. What about the wicked dead? Will they be raised in the resurrection day? Will they be raised at the same time? The Bible tells us in John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour," that is, the time, "is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Now let's stop right there and raise the question, who did he say will come forth from the graves? Did he say some or many? No, he said all that are in the graves shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. When did Jesus say that will occur? He said the hour, the time is coming, the same time, that is the resurrection day. In Acts 24, verse 15, Paul says there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. So the Bible does not teach that the Christians are going to be raised from the dead at one time, and then 1,000 years later, the wicked will be raised from the dead. That's not what Jesus said in John 5, 28 and 29. He said that all that are in the graves will come forth, the good and the bad. Now, somebody might ask the question then, well, why doesn't Paul say anything about the dead who are lost being raised here? Why does he only mention those who are in Christ being dead? Because he's not writing this to teach them about those who die lost. That's not his point. He's writing to these Christians to assure them about the future state of these dead Christians. The Bible talks about the saved being resurrected because we look forward to it. The lost have nothing to look forward to, and they only have reason to fear. And so some verses in the Bible are addressed to or about the saved in the resurrection day. In Luke chapter 14, verse 14, Jesus talked about being recompensed in the resurrection of the just. Now, we've already seen that Paul says there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust, Acts 24, verse 15. But it's not Jesus' point here in Luke chapter 14, verse 14, to talk about the unjust. He's talking about the saved. And Paul is doing the same thing here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, when he talks about the dead in Christ. Another question is this. When Paul says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, is that the first resurrection that John wrote about in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6? No, it is not. In Revelation chapter 20, where John talks about the first resurrection, he's talking about a symbolic resurrection, a spiritual resurrection. The resurrection of faith and courage that was in Christians who had been martyred, that is, they were killed for their faith. They had enough courage and faith to die for Jesus. And now that same spirit of faith and courage was going to live in other Christians, and so it was a resurrection of that kind of faith and courage and love. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Is not about the resurrection day of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is certainly not about what Paul is mentioning here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, is not about the resurrection of the body. It is not about the resurrection of an individual on the judgment day, whether saved or lost. It is a completely different kind of resurrection. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, when Paul talks about the dead in Christ rising first, he's talking about the resurrection of these people. He's talking about the resurrection of these souls. And Paul does not mean that the saved will be raised at one time, and then 1,000 years later, the lost will be saved. He's simply saying that when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ, and of course the lost, those outside of Christ, will be raised at the same time, but his focus is on the dead in Christ. First, the dead in Christ will rise. Then, those who are alive as Christians will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And notice that he says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And that takes us back to verse 13, where he began this section saying, don't sorrow, have comfort about these dead Christians.